Hey, good morning, everybody, or whatever time it is that you decided to tune in and listen. Welcome to the X2 Drop podcast, where me and the Duel Factory discuss pretty much whatever we're feeling like for the Yu-Gi-Oh! TCG and anything that's related to the game. So for anybody who is new or a returning listener that wants to go back and listen to old previous episodes, so the only place to do that and watch the previous 90 episodes or so is on a playlist on YouTube. So it should be youtube.com/bingohd under the X2 Drop podcast playlist. But I do want to throw a suggestion out there. If you are a pretty common listener and you have suggestions for us to discuss, right? We want to know what topics you guys are interested in. So please feel free to reach out in the Discord in the X2 Drop podcast suggestion section, or just shoot us a message on any platform, right? Instagram, Twitter, whatever have you. But this week, so we took some time off during the holiday season and just kind of relax, right? So with minimal changes to the game, we didn't want to force conversation, and we were just kind of enjoying ourselves. So with that being said, this week we wanted to take a look at Photon Hypernova. We finally got all of the cards revealed, and we finally got to see some of the rarities and what's going on with the next set. So with this discussion, hopefully we can talk about that set as a whole and our hopes for the next format, because right now, you know, I'm having a good time, but that's strictly at the local level playing once a week, right? I'm not grinding the game at all. So hopefully we can look forward a little bit and see if the game's going to change at all or what our hopes are for it. So you've had the chance to look through the whole set, right, Joe?
Yeah, I've looked through a majority of it.
Okay, so for anybody that doesn't know, the big gain here as far as new stuff is going to be the cash tier support, right? Because we have a small cash tier engine, but we get cash tier Arise Heart, and a handful of other pretty impactful cards for that deck, as well as we get the cash tier elements card. Triple Tactic Thrust, great localization, by the way.
I knew what they were doing, and I want that known.
And just a handful of other decent cards, right? So we have some branded cards that are pretty good. We have a new Bisteel. So let's take a look at what we feel like this set, or what we want this set to do for the game, right? So before I say my piece, what do you think about this set going forward? And what are your hopes for the upcoming format? Because we've been in this one for seemingly quite a while now.
So if you look outside, like all like the money cards and stuff like that, if you look at like a lot of the generic support it releases into the actual metagame, it gives a lot of decks a lot of power ups. Like some older archetypes, like Gishka gets some cool cards. You get some really cool common print cards too. Like for the Bisteel deck, you get one of the, I think it's called Baldrick. You get one of those. And then there's just good support for like multiple themes. Like, I think Aaron, God bless his soul, gets the missing ship he was getting for plunder and stuff like that. And yep. It's just, there's a lot of good small generic support for whenever we move past like something.
So what are you hoping next format looks like with this introduction of this set, as well as a potential ban list? Are you hoping for a shakeup where it's more or less the same, just with a new face, or what are you hoping it looks like?
I mean, with the new set of cards, like with all these new cards coming out, and then a potential list. Barring what we actually know, like what would actually happen, I want to see us move front, because right now, you really, if you think about it, you only have like one real playable deck, and then the best playable deck to beat that, which is the Plunder deck. So think of it like a two deck format. I would like to see multiple decks actually get played. Like, what is it? I would like to see the actual spread deck you play with the new Gishki cards. And then I would like to see, like, the other, like, rogue contenders come up and actually start playing too. So, like, I would love to go from, like, a two-deck format to 5, 6, maybe 7. Closer to, like, how some of the older formats used to be.
Yeah, that's got to be my main hope where... Or not hope. The thing I want going forward is kind of a split from this one to two deck format to something like you were talking about, where the power level is much lower, right? There might be a solid line in the sand after like 3 to 5 decks, but usually that means the power level is significantly nerfed, and most rogue decks can take wins if built properly. And those are my favorite at the local to regional level, where I can just kind of play what I feel like and not feel like I'm at a disadvantage like I would now if I took something pretty off meta.
I tell you, because I just recently played in another event not too long ago. Having to gear your main deck, like, because I've been playing Branded Best, as most of the followers and stuff like that know, but, like, having to gear your deck specifically to beat one matchup is so, like, frustrating when you're deck building, because, like, there's so many different things you want your deck to be able to do, but, like, it has to be geared to beat the one. So I'm hoping with, like, even if we don't get, like, a list, like, this is all the generic support we're receiving for, like, other archetypes and stuff like that. Like, I'm hoping that it like, levels the playing field out a little bit, too.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is right now, yes, you have to play around the best deck, but there's no guarantee you're going to play against it. And so anytime you deck build with tier in mind right now, you could genuinely not play it for 3 or 4 rounds, and your deck is worse because you're tailored to play against the best deck, while their deck isn't changed at all because they're either the best deck and they'll beat everything else, or they're playing against the mirror. So I don't know. Like I said, it really literally doesn't affect me because I haven't gone to any physical events, but I could see how it gets really frustrating from a competitive player that isn't trying to play tier, right?
To be fair, John, you only play Striker anyway, so you're like in the worst position of every Yu-Gi-Oh player that I know.
The only reason I'm not playing tier is because I started in this format after it already was going.
Like, if Ray was any other attribute, you would just be fine. But, like,
yeah, she's just not. Yeah, well, you can't say any because if she was light, but...
Bro, doesn't matter. Bro, I guarantee. Yeah, okay, maybe. But like, if she was any of the like non like popularized attributes, you would be in there. But like, right now, like, it's just like the fact that you willingly go to locals and play it every week still boggles my mind.
I played Necroz last week.
All right, that doesn't count. I mean, to be fair, I'm still playing Branded Bestial, and like, to be fair, that deck arguably gets hit harder by Bestials than the actual tier deck does, because at least the tier deck make like rank 4s. And mine's just stuck making purple cards, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I really like what your deck can do after this set, right? You got the Cartesia cards, and then you got...
That deck is a nice cover up with Photon Hyper, because we get the 2 new fusions. We get the... I can't remember their TCG name, so we get the Finale Dragon, and we get Lindworm. And then
Grand
Baldrick, actually...
It's like Grand Guignol the Dust Dragon. All
right, hold on. Let me help you pronounce it. It's Grand Guignol Dragon is what it is. Yeah. That card is nice, though. It just lets you do a lot of stuff you're not supposed to be able to. Plus, and also, for those of you who don't know, being able to summon, like, cheat Truscanian out is...
You want to know my biggest fear with this set, actually?
You're not going to be able to play Sky Striker?
No, I mean, we're always able to. It's whether or not we should. Is actually Triple Tactic Thrust is a card that, yes, is super cool in off-meta decks, but it just, like, it kind of, not breaks open, but it really boosts the number one deck in the room, right? And it's
he's talking about this card.
Yeah.
Real quick. I just want it on record. Someone can only R&D really name this card Triple Tactics Thrusting, and they really made the set code 69. The move was calculated. You knew what you were doing. I want that on record. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
My problem, I was talking with CJ about it a couple days ago, and the issue I have with this card is it punishes the person going second, right? Which is already a tough enough spot to be in. If your opponent activates a monster effect this turn, set one normal spell trap directly from your deck, except itself. It cannot be activated this turn. Or if they have a monster, you can add it to your hand instead. Right? So if they have a monster, right, normal spell is great, which is the counterplay to the Bisseals, which is fine, I guess. And then if they don't have a monster, you want to set a trap card.
Right. I don't know. The fact that, like, this card, like, for me, like, the big thing is, like, your opponent literally gets to search a power one of for you just playing the game or, like, attempting to, like, play against them while they're, like, trying to make this unbreakable board is the wild part to me. Because, like, you mentioned it earlier, like, this card can search cards like Terraforming, Instant Fusion. Shout out to the Speedwork player that I got waxed by the other day, but, like, Change of Heart, Monster Reborn, like, that's wild. Like, wild, wild.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm sure it's obviously not right now, but there's a format where, you know, searching a Raigeki, searching a Darkhold could be the play, right? And it's just it makes your spell, like your spells potentially toolboxed at the cost of your opponent activating a monster effect. Granted, if I'm turn zero, right, the only way it's not a, like the only way I don't set it is if I'm playing Abyssteel or Havness, or I'm sure there's some other niche card I'm forgetting about, but I guess like Gamma.
I know what
Gamma,
is it?
Right,
like, that card specifically, it's kind of warps the format a little bit too, because I've seen a lot of people who are playing like the Ishizu Tear Mirrors when they're playing like new Cashier cards in their deck. I've seen like, I want to say 7 out of the 10 lists I've seen so far have been playing that card at 3 in the main deck, which is terrifying. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to get it and play it at locals, but. Dude, just the idea of them of searching Instant Fusion is pretty scary.
That's all right. I'm just waiting to see the reaction of the people you play across the table when they do something and you activate the search engage.
I mean, that's pretty good, man. I'm trying to get away. As soon as we get a ban list, no, I'm going to be off strike.
You'll never be free.
As soon as we get a ban list, assuming it doesn't give me back an engage, then I'll be off strike.
You can lie to yourself and you can lie to your guy, but you can't lie to me. I mean, to be fair, if I had one Colossus, I would only play Thunder, so I understand, but, like, it's okay. That's basically what I'm getting at.
Yeah. I'll have to get one Colossus, one Engage back this list. But I mean, there's a lot of other cool cards in here, man. I'm excited for the deck. I'll be honest, right? Because those Chaos cards are in here, right? Those really weird. Was it Core and?
Yeah, there's the Chaos Core, and then honestly, the stuff I'm actually really excited for, but I've also had these cards sitting in there forever, is the actual Giscu support. Because, like, the new level 2 is dope. We get an actual legitimate Rota. Like, it's actually pretty cool. But I'm, like, I'm Brandon. I hate the fact that, like, the best way to play them is, like, to play them with the sprite cards, and it's just essentially a sprite engine. But, like, these cards are nice. Plus, I have them all DT, and I don't know if you guys seen the old... For our listeners, I don't know who has, like, the old, like, old-school, like, DT cards, but, like, they look like shattered glass and stuff like that. I'm so excited.
I'm going through alphabetically right now. Got what the else? What else? We got the new Choju of the Trillion Hands.
Yeah, I did see that. I saw it has a bunch of hands, but I don't know what it does. So
it's just a tribute Manju that lets you add a ritual monster and spell.
Wait, is it Lone Fire Blossom?
No, it's not Lone Fire Blossom. I said it's a tribute Manju.
It sounds like a Lone Fire Blossom.
It's nothing. Like a couple yeah, of totally aces. Is. What is this?
Either.
Is this totally a normal summon like cup? Normal summon cup of ace. If the card tosses heads, special summon.
That's all around a three of dog. Normal summon cup of ace. I'm playing through that every deck. No cap.
Yep, it is.
I can normal summon and potentially.
Okay,
I can normal summon and potentially draw two. I'm down.
This is, except it's even worse. No. It has to be special summoned by its own effect to draw two. So if heads, you summon it to your side of the field. If tails, you summon it to your opponent's. And then if summoned this way, draw two.
Bro, that just sounds like a worse Arcana Force card.
It is just, it's even worse than Cup of Ace because you're giving your opponent the card.
So are we playing Arcana Forces or what?
I don't see why not.
Hell yeah.
New Evil Eye card.
Yeah, I saw, for anyone who actually watches like Phoenix Flare, he was actually testing with it, and that actually looked pretty nice. Because apparently like it's like a really nice extender. Although I don't know what you're extending in that deck. Long story short, the card looks nice. I don't know if it makes the deck playable, though. What other cool cards? We were talking about Gravekeeper's Inscription earlier. That card's actually really, really cool. Yeah,
that card's going to have its meta as a tech option.
It just needs, like, it needs a home.
Yeah, as of right now, it's just like a side deck utility for a specific matchup. Mm-hmm. Got a new Karibo card, a couple Galaxy cards.
What is it? The Labyrinth deck gets its new trap card, the Big Welcome Labyrinth, and that one is it's basically Sanguine for Labyrinth monsters. So that one's sad.
Yeah, we got
that's gonna be annoying.
Got the Gold Pride cards, which
I haven't read any of these. Do you know what they do?
Somebody described them to me, but I couldn't even remember what their description was. Not good if I had to summarize it, but I could be wrong.
I saw the last Starlight got wasted on one of those cards, so that's upsetting. Oh, here's a card that we actually might want to talk about. Made to Order Mermaid Outfitter. This card's actually kind of nice. So it's a super rare, which it's easy to obtain, and then it reads, you can target one card in your opponent's graveyard, banish it, then add one card from your deck to your hand with the same name as that banished card. You can only activate one made-to-order mermaid outfitter once per turn. Card's gonna go crazy in some mirror matches.
Target one card. Yo, the only reason that card's not absolutely ludicrously broken is because it's a normal spell and not, like, quick play or something.
Oh, bro, that was a quick play spell. Bro, that's a secret if it's a quick play. Come on, dog, chill out.
Yeah. It's interesting. I could see that one day being again a tier zero. It comes out during a tier zero, kind of like Lullaby. Remember, like Lullaby of Obedience in the Zoo Mirror was.
It's actually fun. Did you ever watch? Did you watch the Worlds coverage? Where what was it? I think it was Bowden Timmin. I can't pronounce his last name, but he activated Lullaby Obedience on his opponent, called Inspector Border, but his opponent banished all the copies off Inspector
off of the Desires, right?
Yeah,
that's the only reason he lost, right?
Oh, he 1000% won that game outright, but because of that, he paid 2K for nothing, and then got mollywopped. Like, it just wasn't fair. It was so funny. And then the Starlights are kind of cheeks. I'm not going to lie. Like, what is it we got? The two new branded fusions, which the branded fusions, I don't know if any of you guys have actually read them, but they're nice. Like, nice, nice. And then there's Cashier Rizar, and then we got the new Tri Brigade card, which Tri Brigade card looks cool, and then we got the Gold Pride card, so I mean, it is what it is. There was something else that came in the set that was little. Oh, the new Bestial Monster being common is actually super lit for budget players.
Yeah, now they could go from the 3 Sarenir to 6.
That's so crazy to me that Magnemites and Juris Worms are actually that expensive.
This one's like, it's not good, but it's not like awful, right? If I remember correctly, it's like on field effect.
Baldur's like, kind of nice. Like, so it has the same effect. It has the same DD Crow effect. But this one is kind of, so follow me on this one. It's a quick effect. If your opponent controls monster, and then if your opponent special summons a Ritual, Fusion, Synchro, XYZ, or Link monster, you contribute one other light or dark monster, so it pairs perfectly with Druid Swarm, and then target one of those summoned monsters and banish it.
This is completely unrelated, but you know how mad it makes me that Ritual is lumped in with the extra deck summoning mechanics?
Bro, as you think about it, it's just summoning from the extra deck, but from your hand.
Yeah, it's just like tribute summoning with extra cards, you know?
Are you just upset because you kept drawing Mandrake in your Master Duel deck? Or like
fucking Turnip, man. Oh my god, you have no idea how mad
I think you're projecting your anger. Here, buddy, I think you're projecting your anger on our listeners, and that's just not good for the podcast.
They can sit here and listen to how frustrated I was with the stupid incantation cards, man. I'm so
guys,
sick
I'm not
of
gonna lie to you. It was
cards.
I think what was it? I was watching it for 20 minutes, and he played like I don't know 5-6 games on Master Duel, whatever he played that time frame.
Oh my god!
Every single game, like he would open his five, and either a copy of it would be in there. Or his sixth card, because he's going second, right? His sixth card would be the Turnip. Or my personal favorite. I think I counted three games where you opened both copies in your opening hand.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's not even the worst of it. Before I got on, I played a couple games where four out of my opening six were all incantation cards. And keep in mind, I'm not playing a big incantation line. I am playing six cards.
Six.
Yep.
And he just kept opening them. And then he got mad at me when I told him that maybe he should just play three turnips, so that way when he draws two, he'll still have one in the deck.
But I
just think that's good deck building.
But I can't summon it off itself, and if I use its hand effect, I can't use its deck effect that turn. The engine sucks.
See,
it's garbage.
So follow me here. I think what you should do is you should add Lone Fire Blossom to the deck and just one turn up, so that way you can go Lone Fire Special Talisman Drift.
Yo, Loki, that's kind of hot. Because it triggers when the summon off deck or summon out of the deck.
We're talking about Photon Hypernova, but I found the Necroz Sauce. Catch me on Metafy.
Yeah, no. what is the one thing
we're doing right after this? We're building Megazord with Lone Fire Blossom.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Fucking no, absolutely not. Before we get too far off topic, let's quickly mention how this trap card that's a secret is going to be the only trap card from the set that I pull, or the only secret from the set I pull. Yeah, it's garbage.
Which one is it? Are you talking about? It's not the Labyrinth card, is it? Please don't. Labyrinth card. Please.
It's a card that's literally just awful.
Oh, weight measuring?
Yeah.
Let's see. If your opponent controls at least two or more monsters than you do, they must send monsters they control to the graveyard, so they control one. This card does that. It's not terrible.
It doesn't say I can activate it from my hand, so it's garbage.
Okay, look, you're not wrong, but like, I'm also not going to give you the satisfaction of saying you're right either. But like, trust me, there could have been much worse slots.
How is this any like? How is this better than Get Out? How is this better? Than Compulse?
I think you would rather pull the weight measuring than you would Galaxy Photon Dragon.
No, because at least that's a generic four, where in theory I could eventually use it for something.
Theoretically, okay. Well, can we talk about the elephant in the room?
What's that?
Can we talk about how Kassira got the Dogmatica treatment, and it got three secrets and three ultras?
Good. I say that because bro, I'm not going to play it.
Bro, boys, could you imagine spending almost $1,000 on the second best deck of the format? Let that sink in for a second. Two ultra rares. It got two ultra rares.
I almost really liked the Kassira cards, man.
Oh, that's crazy, though. Could you, like, this is, like, it's funny. Because, like, the deck is, like, it's still going to be the number two deck. It's not going to be the number one deck. And this deck literally has monsters. It has Card Searcher, Spell Searcher, E-Telly, Terraforming, two insane XYZs, and it's going to be the second best deck of the format, and it costs over $1,000 for the core. Not like the deck, the core.
Yeah.
Because you still need Fenrir's Unicorn. Like, that's kind of
crazy, not going to lie. Because, like, I can't remember another time in recent memory. I feel like it's happened once since I started playing where, like,
that you paid that much money for the deck that's not even the best deck.
Yeah, for not the best deck. I just can't remember what it was.
I think the only other time I can remember is, like, when people, like, literally, like, ruler spellbook format, where people were paying all that money for Spellbook of Judgment, and it was this, and what is it, like, you only had the one printing of, well, I say one printing, but there was Ultra and Ultimate Rare printings, because they came from Return of the Duelist and stuff like that for Spellbook, and, like, it was easily, like, for the core was, like, $1,000 to $1,200, and it was the second best. It was considered the second best deck of the format. Like, that's the only other time I can remember. But that's wild.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right.
What is a Dragon Run? It's expensive.
We are actually going to be out of time here, so that kind of flew by a little bit. But hopefully I get to play a new format here shortly, but that's pretty much all I got to say. I'm not actually looking for anything besides, like, tactics out of this next set, personally.
I'm not going to lie to you, boys. I blew a lot of money on this stuff already because I actually plan on playing the cash deck, but that being said, Douglas French just has no sauce, so I just want you guys to remember that. Low, you have no sauce.
Hey. All right, guys, it has been a pleasure. If you do want to check us out, you can find us here probably every week or two. We're not going to force an episode, but for the most part, we do like to try to record every single week. But with that being said, you can check Joe out. He does upload deck profiles, combo tutorials, and stuff on his YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheDuelFactory. And you can check myself out. All the information's in the description somewhere, I promise. But with that being said, I hope I have your attention once again on the next episode. Thank you.
Okay, bye.